May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. During these summer Sundays of Pentecost, a time when our lives perhaps slow down a bit, we decided that we would examine and reflect together over several Sundays on whether or not you are living your life with vision. This is the second Sunday of this preaching series, each of them being self-contained, but focusing upon the fundamental questions of meaning. Fundamental questions of meaning in life that all of us face on our Christian spiritual journeys, especially when we are met with great challenges in life. The vision that God has for your life, that is what our work is about these Sundays. We claim that we want to live a life with a defined vision because we want to be fully alive. We want to continue to learn. We want to love and be loved. And all of us want to leave a legacy. And to begin to develop a vision for your life takes work. It was William James, often regarded as the father of modern psychology, who said the following. He said, "There is a law in psychology that if you form a picture in your mind of what you would like to be, and keep and hold that picture there long enough, you will soon become exactly as you have been thinking." And for the Christian, for you and for me, the other piece of this is that we must give God the control. And the irony, of course, in me saying that to you is that God's in control whether we give God control or not. It's just a grand illusion that we have control in our lives. But when we hold back from acknowledging deep within that God is in control, and we say to God, "God, I want you to control my life," then we have at least the opportunity of living the life that God would have for us, living God's will for your life, rather than choosing something different. So today, briefly, I want to talk about how trust fits in with this moving forward. It is Psalm 37:3 that reads, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security." Living with vision is a life lived with trust in God, trust in oneself, and the critical characteristic of being trustworthy. There are a number of dimensions of your life that you need to look at, to examine as a part of your life lived with vision. And one of the first of these is your relationships and the central place of trust in them. So I want you with me to reflect for a moment on what is the most important element in order for you to have a meaningful relationship with another person or with, say, an institution, say the church. It probably doesn't take you long to get to trust. We might start out with love and like and fun to be around and enjoy ourselves while we're there, but all of a sudden we will get to that very, very profound question of, is there trust in this relationship? And Webster's Dictionary defines trust as assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. So I want you to ask yourself this morning as we worship here, do you truly trust God? Do you truly trust God? And of course, that's a very challenging question when we're in the midst of a crisis in our life. Do you trust God with all of your heart, mind, body, and the very depths of your soul? You see, I believe that when we are fully able to trust God, we as imago Deo, as image of God, are then ourselves able to become trustworthy. That if we don't have trust in God, we can't ourselves be trustworthy. But when we're trustworthy with this trust in God, we're able to do good, as the psalmist says, and we're able to enjoy security, as the psalmist says, the truest sense of security, not a false security. You see, trust is the basis of our relationship with God, and it is the foundation for all human relationships. It was priest and theologian Henry Nouwen who said, "Without trust, we have nothing." Without trust, we have nothing. So what is this place of trust in your relationships? If you want to live a life with God's vision, you must have trust at its very core. And you only have power over your own ability to have both trust in God and to then be trustworthy. It's because God, in God's great love for us, gave us this thing we call free will. We can choose differently. Can we choose today to trust God and choose today to ourselves strive to live as trustworthy individuals? And so I want to ask you if you trust yourself. Do you follow through on the promises that you make to yourself? Because the inability to trust ourselves often then becomes the inability to genuinely trust others. If you don't have trust in you, it's very hard for you to believe anybody else could be trustworthy because you let yourself down all the time. So everybody else will let you down. And so we've got to come to that place. God wants you to have that place of trust in yourself. It's the kind of trust we've heard these last two Sundays in the gospel healing stories. It is the trust that the widow had in Jesus as her son lie dead in the casket. And the poignancy of that story is such that to be a widow, so no, in that particular first century Palestine, with no man in your life, I know in 21st century America that is a sexist thing to say, but it was true in secular and in religious society in first century Palestine. To be a widow with no man in your life, you would be relying on your son to take care of you. And if your son is dead and that's your only child, you would literally be out on the streets. It is why Jesus constantly refers to widows and children as being as low as, he says, slaves. We don't understand that today, but in that culture, that was so true. This woman had that kind of trust in God, in Christ, for her son to be healed and stand up and literally be brought back to life. trust in yourself can bring you back to life. Follow through on the promises that you make to yourself. Ask about whether or not you are trustworthy. Trustworthiness is about your relationship to other people and your relationship to all of the other aspects of your life. Does your spouse, child, a loved one, a friend, a parishioner trust you, not partially, but fully? Does your place of business fully trust you? As we all know, trustworthiness doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. The first rector I worked for, John Jobson, who has since gone to God, lived into his 80s. John taught me, as I was the new priest on his staff, the young curate, he said to me, and I won't attempt to imitate his beautiful Australian accent, he said to me, "Always pause and say to yourself, Philip, is this prudent?" And what John meant by that is that it was a moment to say, if I do this, does it build the trustworthiness of my character? Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. So we leave today then with a call to reflect upon the place of trust in your relationships. What are the relationships that you need to work on? There are perhaps relationships that you need to end. To live your life with vision, trust must be at the core of your relationships. We close with the beautiful words of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, who wrote, "O holy trust, O endless sense of rest, like the beloved John to lay his head upon the Savior's breast, and thus to journey on." We'll continue this journey next Sunday. Amen.